Bin Laden has training in engineering, as you know, and as a developer. And these people aren't, you know, are in certain ways as modern as you or I might be.
Have you been following the speculation that Muhammad Atta is gay? And I've even heard speculation that Bin Laden is gay. The implication being, and this is real like psychohistory, but the implication being that this extreme form of homophobia that is a part of their religion is perhaps forcing them to express their own repressed impulses in a very aggressive way.
Well, I'd be careful about that kind of explanation. I have no idea about their sexuality or whether either or both are gay or is gay. Maybe they're trying to cover something over. If that's the case, and I'm not at all sure it is, but if it were the case, then all you could say, I think, is that their extreme need to cover over an aspect of their sexual inclinations that they find themselves unacceptable could intensify their involvement in this apocalyptic violence. But it would be a mistake to see it as the source of that apocalyptic violence, because the source has more to do with the theologies and the ideologies that we've been talking about. And such ideologies and theologies have been in existence, and I mean of world ending. They've been in existence since the formation of religion itself. They seem to be part of every religion. The difference now is that this kind of world-ending theology can be accompanied by the acquisition of weapons that could literally bring about that world-ending. So if there are other sources of great anxiety or great conflict, such as conflict over sexuality, yes, they could contribute some aspect of intensity, but I'd be very wary of looking at that as the causative factor. It's interesting that there's a new book about Hitler that says just about exactly the same thing. And it's, I think, by focusing on that almost exclusively, I think it's, again, playing down the broader theological and ideological forces that are at issue here.
The American military has been trying to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. If he's captured or if he's killed, do you think that's likely to end his following? In other words, what happens to a group like his when the leader is gone?
Yeah, it's a big question, and it's hard to answer exactly. I think that if he's captured or killed, I think his following will radically decline, because part of his appeal, his mystical magic, has had to do with his capacity to humiliate the West, which is a big impulse in much of Islam. And even people who don't like his methods and his mass killing have a certain soft spot for him, because he had succeeded in doing that, not just on September 11th, but on three or four prior occasions. If he himself in turn is destroyed or humiliated or removed from any capacity for this kind of guruism or leadership, I think some of that guru magic, maybe most of it, disappears. I myself, though, I'm against the death penalty, even for bin Laden, and I would hope that we bring him to justice in as much an international way as possible, to full justice, but at the same time that if we have any opportunity, we probe his mind. We don't have to make this some world performance in which we give him a stage, but I do think we have to combine confronting him and bringing him to justice with grasping everything we can about him as a phenomenon.
Dr. Lifton, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed our talk.
Dr. Robert J. Lifton is about to become a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard. He's the author of many books, including Destroying the World to Save It, Om Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence, and the New Global Terrorism.